Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's all about Texas barbecue this week, and our buddies, the ZZ Top. Everybody likes a sharp-dressed griller. Ain't that right, Barbara?
Yeah. I don't think they pay much attention to what he's wearing as long as he's wearing something.
Right.
Welcome back to the Grilling Guys. You can follow us on Facebook / the Grilling Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. And you can check out our website. It's thegrillingguys.com. And there's lots of recipes, lots of you name it on there. All our shows are on there. You can podcast the show right from there, send it to your phone. And there's a menu bar in the top right. If you're looking for a certain food item, punch it in there. You might just find some help.
Yep, exactly. And speaking of food items, we wouldn't be doing Texas without brisket, right? You mentioned in the last segment there that you had cooked a brisket for your graduation party, and
right.
And maybe you didn't thaw it out enough before you cooked
it. Yeah, it was one I had in the freezer. I've got a couple of them. My wife was adamant that we don't do brisket this time, that we do, you know, this Mexican thing.
Right.
And I got all my buddies showing up, and they're like, you're doing brisket, right? I'm
yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm going to do one. So right. So fortunately...
Well, fire's hot, right? Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately, I had that one ready because some of the beef was struggling, and I got that out just in time, and they all absolutely loved it. So
sure.
It was good to have a brisket there. But Texas brisket, you know, unlike a lot of other places, is a little different. A lot of barbecue has evolved around the country anyway, so there's not necessarily the same succinct profiles that there used to be. But in Texas, they don't touch the brisket. They salt and pepper it,
right,
and they grill it or smoke it with the fat side up.
Yep.
So the fat runs through the meat. Now, I maintain, as a lot of people do, that fat running through the meat does nothing for the meat. But that's how they do it. That's how they like it. And then what they do is they chop it up with a big cleaver. So you get a chopped brisket primarily,
right?
Texas style, not always, but that's kind of the traditional way they did it. Just salt and pepper. And then of course they're smoking it on, mesquite. So
yeah,
that's a strong wood.
It is. And they have this other stuff they call live oak down there.
Yeah.
And both of those are big, strong smoke flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of the traditional Texas pits are going to cook over hardwood coals. They're not buying pre-made
right.
Lump charcoal.
Right.
They're making their own
coals
right
deal.
From the wood. And then when those coals get down to that bright orange coal, they're not smoking anymore. They'll shovel them out and put them in their pit.
Great way to go, though.
And it is. It takes a little bit longer to do, but if you want that authentic taste, and in my opinion, that is a completely different profile than you get from lump charcoal, because the lump charcoal has usually a combination of woods in it, in most of them that we see. It might be predominantly oak or predominantly hickory or something like that, but when you're doing just the pure one flavor of smoke wood, you get that profile, whatever it is. And again, that mesquite and that oak, they're big, strong, smoky flavors, which
mm-hmm.
the beef tends to handle a little better.
Right.
If you were doing chicken or fish, you'd probably stay away from that.
But see, in Texas also, the other big meat they have is chicken.
Right.
And sausage. Sausage is a biggie down there.
Yep.
So I don't go to Texas near enough. And when I do, very often I don't get a chance to really carouse the barbecue places like I'd like to, but that'd be a worthy tour right there.
So as long as we're on brisket, I think it'd be a good use of some time to talk about preparing the piece of meat before you put it on the smoker, because this is probably the most difficult piece to get right. Because of the characteristic of the cut.
Right.
You've got one end that's called the flat and another end that's called the point,
mm-hmm.
right? And or the deckle. Right?
Yep.
So that point end is three times as thick as that flat end. Just fundamentally, that in and of itself creates a problem.
Well, and the flat actually runs throughout the whole piece of meat. It kind of tapers off at an angle on the point end as the deckle gets thicker. So what a lot of competition guys do now, and I used to be chastised for this years ago by some guys in Kansas City that you know.
Yeah.
But I would carve out that fat between the deckle and the point to the point where it would just separate. Well, competition guys are now doing that. They're literally separating the point from the flat smoking them separately and then marrying them back together for the wrap, so that they can get a sort of a contiguous piece of meat. I like doing them separately because then you have two pieces of meat that are like an inch and a half thick, and they're going to cook evenly. The problem with leaving a brisket whole and leaving that flat on there is if you're trying to get that point up to 165 before you wrap it, well, your flat's already at 180.
Right.
And you've probably already driven too much moisture out of it, and you're going to have a hard time rehydrating it to any satisfaction. So by separating them, you can bring them both up to 160 or 165, wrap them, and I just wrap them separately. I don't do competition, so I'm not worried about presentation in that regard. I still prefer the point portion, the deckle portion, flavor-wise and fat content-wise over the flat. But it's just a lot easier to do it that way, and especially like a lot of people use these Smoky Hollows and these Master Builds and all these, I'd say, inexpensive locker boxes,
right,
that are small. And a full pack of brisket can be almost 2 feet long. You can't get it in there.
Right.
So by separating it, you might actually get them both on your racks.
Right.
If the thing is big enough.
And I would concur you're going to get a better result. When you separate that, like you just talked about, if you've learned anything from listening to grilling guys over the years, is that our most important tool is a digital thermometer.
Right.
Because you cannot overcook your barbecue, or it will go from great to zero in a hurry.
Right.
So by separating those two, I can also temperature monitor both of those. And what Bob said is really important, in that when it gets to 160, you want to wrap it in tin foil. And don't you put a little bit of moisture in there with that as well?
I've got a few secret weapons that I like to throw in there.
Right.
Absolutely. But beef broth is a good one for
starters. So, but it's moisture, and you can play with the moisture. You could do beer. You can do, don't do a big strong beer because now you're going to alter the flavor. But the idea is you're wrapping that thing up and you're steaming it a little bit for the last 30 degrees, because we're pulling our brisket at about 190. And it doesn't matter to stick your thermometer through the foil. You're not going to let out all the steam. Don't worry about that. But what you don't want to do is get to like 205 with that, because it's going to be
a little bit overcooked.
It's going to be overcooked.
I like to serve it and get it off about 198. If I can pull it at 195, it'll be about 198 when I'm done. And I'm going to get a chance to do that next week. We're recording this show early because I actually Thursday have to head on a plane, and I'm going out to Sacramento to do this Whole Foods Top Chef event, which I've been waiting for a couple months. So I'm going to be in Sacramento all weekend. After that, Sunday, I fly up to our corporate ranch where we're having a high-level dealer meeting, which is really cool because they call it an advisory. So I'm going to be out there on that back deck 3 days in a row, smoking briskets and butts and doing.
So you got hired as Hop Sing
doing
for this
steak.
Deal.
They said they really wanted me to come to the meeting, but once I found my duties, it's like I am going to be barbecuing up there.
Hello, where's my name tag? Oh, I'm sorry. You know, we didn't print one for you.
No, you know what? It's the best of both worlds because I don't have to sit through 2 days of meetings.
Yeah.
And I get to be out on the deck smoking,
right,
which will be wonderful. It's right on the Saskatchewan River. Arctic Spas has this training facility, 108 acres. It's fantastic. So I'm happy. And then I just get to hang around and have a glass of wine or a beer with all the dealers at night.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm real happy to go up there and take one for the team.
Yeah, right. You are. That's somebody's got to do that dreadful work, but it's all over. You got it, right? Very cool. So anyway, the Texas brisket scene is one that, you know, you can look up a lot of information online. Coming up next, we're going to have a guy named Danny Skiff join us. And Danny's done a brisket or two. He's a man of a lot of knowledge when it comes to barbecue, right, Bob?
Yeah, he and I were reps together in the smoker business for years, and he was a vital part of developing a portion of our market.
Yeah. So stick with us. We'll be back.